AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Former President Trump continuing comments for which he's being attacked, warning NATO members over the weekend that if he's elected and they don't pay bills, he says they owe the alliance if Russia attacked them.
No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills.
But NATO members don't pay dues or owe money on bills. They have targets of spending 2% of their federal budgets on defense. That's the issue. And with or without it, the members are bound by a treaty to protect each other. Houston police say the woman who opened fire in Joel Osteen's mega church yesterday was a lone wolf and did not have explosives with her. Her off-duty cop shot and killed her. The shooting is believed to have resulted from a dispute, police sources said. The six people shot on a New York City subway platform in the Bronx today got into an argument that escalated, police say. One of those shot has died. It was a largely positive day on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers may pass Governor Evers' bill to redraw Wisconsin's legislative district boundaries before wrapping up their work for the spring. Evers tells WISN-TV's Upfront that if they do, he would sign it.
I have great doubts that that could happen. But if my maps are approved by the legislature, of course I'd sign them.
Observers say Evers' map is better for Republicans than any version that may come out of the state Supreme Court. Meanwhile, a leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Bocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WISS and WGBW. It looks like people are taking warnings to stay off the ice seriously. Only 58 sturgeon were taken on the opening day of the Lake Winnebago system spearing season Saturday. That compares to 522 last year and 431 the year before. The Department of Natural Resources counted about 450 shacks and pop-up tents on Lake Winnebago compared to several thousand in a typical year. Warm weather has left the ice on many waters too thin and dangerous. An 80-year-old man is dead after a weekend explosion at a home in Iron River, Michigan. The Sheriff's Department and Michigan State Police say it happened Saturday night. Officers say they found debris from the blast as far as three blocks away. They say the victim had just moved up to the UP from Florida. Investigators don't think the explosion is suspicious, but they are still looking into how it happened. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime to become only the second team in over 20 years to win back-to-back NFL championships. Patrick Mahomes named the game's most valuable player, and what made the difference for Kansas City?
The attitude of the team, it's special, and I'm proud of the guys, man. I mean, we battled through and through all the way through the playoffs into the Super Bowl, and just like our whole season, it came down to the last play.
Tight end Travis Kelce caught on video shoving and yelling at Coach Andy Reid before halftime when the team was struggling.
You know, he bumps into me, I get after him, and we understand that. He loves to play the game. He wants to help his team win. It's not a selfish thing.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan on losing again to the Chiefs in a Super Bowl.
I mean, I heard the most for the players. Those are the guys. I mean, it's such a, can't tell you guys how long it takes to get here. Our guys I heard for the most.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. From Super Bowl 58, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs mid-30s. Mostly cloudy and low 40s Wednesday. A rain or snow shower possible in the late afternoon and evening. Early flurries Thursday, then partly sunny and mid-30s. Currently 40 degrees.
Mino and the Mayor.
John actually asked me if women had a prostate earlier today.
He did.
You did not.
No, get this, because we're in here and we're talking about...
It was a sweet question.
Yeah.
No, everybody asked.
What?
He goes,
do you guys get prostate cancer? And she's like, no, John, women don't have prostate.
A lot of guys don't know that.
Do they have ED?
Erectile dysfunction?
Yeah, do they have that, John?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Now it's Monday. Educated educators talking education. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789. Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl for all of you football people out there. Johnny Lupinacci, did you win money or did you lose money?
Oh, Tim, I can't disclose that on this, but, I lost money earlier in the season on my team, but, I mean, I think I gained it all back. I had an early bet on the Chiefs. Like you maybe have mentioned in previous shows, it's hard to not roll the dice with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And so, while I'm not a big Chiefs fan, I think they did pretty good for me last night. So,
yeah, well, good. So you knew where you should be and who you should support. Yeah. Watching the game, 2 minutes, to go like that, you give Mahomes the ball and that's it. He will find a way to win. Which
I mean,
why.
It was exciting though. I mean, there were a lot of ways to lose it too. So
yeah,
I was
a lot of ways
to go to overtime, and I'm still trying to figure out how we don't have Monday as a holiday yet in this country.
the Monday after Super Bowl.
Oh God, I remember teaching in the classroom. I mean, I popped into a couple of classrooms today and saw, kids pretty tired, teachers pretty tired, and it's like, come on, can't we just have this be one of those Mondays?
Well, it was like the Monday after Thanksgiving in Pennsylvania for the longest time, which is deer hunting season. Nobody would come to school anyway. They finally did make that a holiday, though, believe it or not, in more states. So if you can have the opening day of deer season off, Johnny, I agree with you. I think we should have the day after the Super Bowl off. It just makes sense. Oh, here we are. Busted Pencils, though. Again, 844-967-2789. Monday night, if you're just jumping in, though, and going, wait a minute, Busted Pencils? Tonight? 6 o'clock? Really? How did that happen? Hey, we've been telling you for the last 2 weeks, it is Busted Pencils. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And now, from now on, 6 p.m. Central every evening. Adjust your clock if you're Eastern, if you're Mountain, if you're Pacific. Figure it out. 6 o'clock, though, Central time every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is our new spot on Civic Media, and this is really exciting. It's been exciting that we've gone to 5 days a week, and now we're in our new time slot following the Devil's Advocates. Really, Johnny, we are situated in a nice spot.
Right. Well, now, we don't have to wait an entire week because we always have such exciting guests and really awesome stuff to talk about with our listeners and our callers. So without any more to do, Tim, why don't we introduce our guests?
I've got to introduce our guests. I mean, so I'll just go right with, she's a Las Vegas native, mother to 2 adult children, aunt to 21 nieces and nephews, fur mom to 2 dogs and 3 cats. She's a newcomer to the political arena. She came in first of 9 candidates for school board trustee or school board member during the 2018 primary elections and defeated the establishment candidate in the general election. During her 4 years as a school board member, she witnessed the questionable spending of over $20 billion. She had a front row seat to the complex power plays. In November of 2022, she launched her podcast, Unraveling Education, to expose covert operations happening within the Clark County School District and empower the community to fight back. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Danielle Ford. How are you, Danielle?
Thank you. Thank you. That was quite an introduction. I am so happy to be here. I've been following you guys for a while. And when you reached out to be a guest, I was like, yes, when?
Well, when you said yes, we were like, yes, she said yes. This is one of those, you know. Okay, so Danielle, a little bit, be just a background biography. So you're no longer a school board member. You're doing the podcast, Unraveling Education, and we'll talk about that. But what brings you, a mom, into the arena to even want to be a school board member? I mean, what's happening in Las Vegas? Give us a little bit of the origin story. What makes you wake up one day and say, I'm getting involved?
Well, I was involved with my kids and my kids' school. So, you know, I went to CCSD schools my entire life, and I ended up leaving early, graduating with my GED a year early. So technically drop out. And, you know, I felt like the system failed me as a student in many ways. When my kids, you know, got into CCSD, I was on the PTO, was leading Cub Scouts. I was, you know, asking about the budget, started a snack shack, you know, so many things. Like, for instance, I wanted to, you know, maybe go to Whole Foods or partner with, you know, home kitchens and give healthy options. And it was like, no, we can't do that because, you know, an apple is too many grams of sugar, but these sour gummy worms of this many is okay. And then it's like, well, who chooses the contracts? How does this happen? And then I learned, oh, it's the school board that makes those decisions. So I was like, oh, when does that happen? Okay, I'll go sign up. And it was pretty impulsive, actually. I was like, I think I can do this. And I ended up, it was the biggest race at that time of all school board seats with 10 people in the race. And so most people thought I didn't have a chance and kind of ignored me until I came in first in the primary election.
So that part first, oh my God, there's a whole other, you just brought up something, the school lunches, the politics of school lunches there, an apple and sugar gummy. I know, man, there are so many things there. But so Danielle, in a sense, you're a mom, you're involved in the school, and these questions pop up as you just see them there. And so this idea, you're like, how do I get involved? Well, you go right to it though. You're like, well, I'm doing the PTO, I'm doing the Cub Scouts. Let's just get on the school board and become a school trustee.
Something I did not know. So when I entered the race, I have no education background. I didn't have any political experience other than just like being interested in it in theory, conceptually. Wasn't involved in any political groups. I'm true nonpartisan. I don't like either party. I learned during my election that they do not want newcomers. It's like you're offending the status quo, the good guys and the bad guys, or whatever your opinions are. Everybody has these groups that are already like have it figured out who's going to be in the next seat. And they have been prepping people, and they've been looking for the last couple of years of who might run. And you basically, like, what you should do is join some committees and get some appointed positions and join some caucuses and like start asking around, would I have support from all the political groups if I were to run? I had no idea. I didn't get any endorsements. You know what I had? Voters support. That's nice. All you need.
Right. Democracy in action, man. Tim, this is my favorite story to hear is, you know, we talk about it all the time. Education is a matter for all members of our community, and in a democracy, that's one of the beautiful things about the way things are run, is that your voice not only matters, but it counts, and voters know that. And that's the important thing about education, is we have a stake in it. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, thank you for throwing your hat in there and digging in and, you know, and being part of that process. It's a huge thing.
Thank you.
Hey, Look at that. Steven from Green Bay, you're on the phone with Busted Pencil. Steven, what's happening? You're on with our guest, Danielle Ford. Hey, Steven.
First of all, I'd like to say I think it's wonderful that you're on at 6, because when we were on at 7, I could not listen to you. I was getting ready to go to bed, but now I can listen to you on a daily basis, so that is a good
love
thing.
Love it. Love it, man. Thank you. Thank you.
With that being said, anytime I hear a woman running for anything, whether it's school board, president, city council, whatever it is, I have to, you know, tip my hat to them, because we definitely need more women in politics. I know school board technically isn't politics as usual, but it still is politics running for school board. And, yeah, you know, it's important who is on those, in those seats making decisions for your children, what they can learn, what they can't learn, what the curriculum is. I was actually in high school. I left the brick and mortar school and I went to a virtual school. And it made me appreciate the brick and mortar model so much more, going to a virtual school, because all the things I took for granted, like a teacher being there to help me, was no longer there. And I just think school, the brick and mortar sense of going to a building and having someone there to interact with, is so very important for kids to have. And so, you know, the stuff going on right now where people are trying to get rid of that and take funding away from that, when they say that, they are taking money not from us, but they're taking money from our children's futures, and that cannot happen.
No, Stephen, thank you. Really appreciate it. Danielle, I mean, tell us what you, with Stephen there in the call, all those things that you learned, and is he striking something that you're like, oh my God, Stephen, if you only knew?
You know, I absolutely agree with Stephen. In fact, it's not necessarily about students. Even everyone's like, it's about the kids. Of course, we love kids. We want to take care of kids, of course. But it's about the future. It's about future adults. It's about society. And so when people are trying to take tax dollars away for their kids right now because they want their kids to have whatever, that's not what the public money is for. It's to build a society of humans, of adults that are going to be productive and happy and, you know, make the future better. So I think he's spot on. And that's a really big conversation, and something to, you know, help people understand, is that it's about society as a whole and not just about every individual student.
I'd say the one thing, though, too, Stephen, and again, really appreciate your call, and I'm glad that we moved to 6 so that you don't have to go to bed before, you know,
that's
you can listen to us.
To,
I don't know if you're going to be able to go to sleep, though. Yeah, how's he going to be able to sleep after Busted Pencils, though? Now, we're going to be causing his insomnia. But at this point, though, looking at, you know, being politics, I would say that entering into school board races anywhere now across America is your first step into politics. In fact, we would,
it's,
you know,
an effective step, Tim. I want to like put it out there that it's such an effective way to get involved in one of the most important investments we can all make in democracy, in this civic process, is our schools. I just want to put that out there. And I give Stephen a lot of props. Thanks for calling, Stephen, but thanks for echoing and amplifying how important it is, not only when people run for politics, but especially when we have women and their voices represented strong in the most important, I throw it on all the time, school board's the most important politics we have locally, and that trickles all the way up.
You know, so what though, I'm just going to say really quick, I kind of disagree. It was an all-female board, and I was like, we could use some men on here.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, though? Think of that, though. Danielle, wait, we're going to have to talk about that when we come back from the break. All-female board. Wait a minute. Okay. Stephen, though, thank you for the call. Our guest from the Unraveling Education Podcast, Danielle Ford. More when we get back. We will not win this anymore.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with
Radio B12. Keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Alma Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
That's why you came back there. Came back.
That's kind of a cool reason to like watch, to like see the behind the scenes and whatnot.
Exactly, exactly. Like, so behind the scenes. About.
It's what we were talking about. So if you're busting pencils right now on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, YouTube, yes, you are looking at, you know, the faces of Busted Pencils and our great guest, Danielle Ford from the Unraveling podcast. She was a school board member, school board trustee, as they say in Las Vegas, one of the top vote getter in 2018. And Stephen called in and gave big kudos because being a woman and jumping into politics, and Johnny was like, yeah. And Danielle, right before the break, though, you were like, well, I got to disagree a little bit. So what about the dynamics of the school board you were on then? Give us a little bit about that.
It was an, without getting too much in the backstory, because it is drama, but it was an all-female board and a male superintendent who I just did not get along with right out the gates. And there was so many times, honestly, the entire 4 years, I was labeled like catty and dramatic. And so many times I was like, if I was a man saying exactly what I just said, very straightforwardly pointing out what this dude is doing and exactly how he, you know, is swindling taxpayers or whatever it is, they'd be like, wow, okay, this is a leader. This is a very well-researched man. But because I'm a female, it's like, oh, she has it out for him. Oh, she just doesn't like him. I'm like, no, I literally just gave you facts and you're all choosing to just follow your biases or whatever your opinion is about me. It doesn't matter. So I ran into a lot of that kind of stuff. And there were so many times I was like, if there was a dude on this board, I would just work through him. I would like puppeteer him and I would be like, here's what I need you to say. And then they'll listen to you. Like even the women too, like the women on the board responded well to the superintendent and any men that came in and told us what to do. Strange.
Man.
Johnny, I'm looking at, yeah, that's fascinating, right?
Leadership, not only in politics, but you know, all of us teachers listening to this, we've had that similar experience in schools, especially in elementary ed, where there are less male presence in there. And then we tend to fast track them to principal or constantly go down and be like, can you handle this behavior problem? Or can you talk to this person about this? It's like, we do gender in such a way that it, like Danielle reminds us, it's not always just enough or the right thing to have all women in one space, right? While there's, I will argue there's likely to be better ideas, but that's my bias for the women in this world. But that said, it doesn't make things perfect. There's still a lot of work to do. And the ways that we gender, especially give power to voice, can be a huge problem. So both those things got to be worked on at the same time.
It's kind of like you always want to aim for the diversity of your population. So it's like 51% women, 49% men. So really a split board would be actual like representative of the community.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle, Las Vegas, Clark County, you said, this is, you know, for anybody, this is a huge school district. I think I was reading here, fifth largest school district in the country.
When I joined, there was 320,000 students. When I left, there was 300 students because that's how many the superintendent ran out to charter schools. But it's another story.
But that's huge. So you're making, back to Stephen, to potentially recognize Stephen's in Green Bay, Wisconsin, they're usually doing more of the school districts dealing with localities. And so the idea of moving into a different state, Nevada, is where you're doing counties like that. And I see that across the country, you know, some places they do the little township. And so you have a high school, an elementary school, and a middle school. And that's the quote school district. And then, but what you're talking about there too, that's an incredible amount of responsibility to think that you were going to be, and I'll just say it, as a school board member, a school board trustee, you have all of those children's and the community members' future, you're making decisions for them.
It's absolutely crippling. When I left the board, honestly, I was just like, felt so defeated. And also it was during COVID. So that's a whole other layer of chaos and things. But to see somebody who I, you know, believe to not have the best intentions for staff or students or the district or the community, and to just not be able to do anything about it except for, you know, sound the alarms as much as I could. It was honestly just so soul crushing.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to call, jump in, give us a call. Danielle Ford, she is the host of her own podcast, Unraveling Education. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're still talking about her adventures school boarding. And Johnny, I had an adventure in school boarding, and that didn't work out so well because I told Danielle about this when we were doing the pre-interview. A school district I went, you know, we had an opening. I said, well, I can do it. You know, I've been a second grade teacher, a fifth grade teacher. I've worked with, you know, all these. And I went and put my name in the hat because this was a special election. And I got told before I even the election that I wasn't going to get the vote because, well, you know, I'm a liberal atheist socialist who was out to the only reason I wanted to get on the board was to do away with the Christmas play. So
that's what they told you?
Yes.
That's what you get for being the local curmudgeon, Tim. I mean, it is really political, and it's more than an adventure too. I want to highlight it's a civic duty, and it's a way of, I mean, we always talk about in democracy how important it is to vote, but beyond that, we all have a voice too. And so getting involved in local politics, getting involved in things like school board, it's part of our civic duty. It's, you know, LA Tom calls all the time and reminds us, you know, we are government for the people, by the people. And so when people take on that responsibility and take a big chunk of their time and their energy to help make something like our schools better, right? It's really important work to recognize as, you know, civic engagement. Tim, sorry, it didn't work out for you, but also just that process, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's so important to engage and to be, you know, a litmus for what is the political landscape of our school board races? What are the things that determine these positions? And how do those maybe even exaggerated stereotypes of your politics, Tim, that don't really, I know you pretty well, you know, and I know that you're not out to end the Christmas play.
But I like Christmas.
Also a big advocate for, you know, like Danielle talked about, like diversity in our schools, and that maybe there is more than Christmas than that our young people and families are also celebrating right around that time of year. And so I think you would be an excellent, you know, voice to remind us of there's a lot happening in our schools and diversity is really important. That probably got spun into Tim's, you know, an atheist socialist trying to, you know, convert all these kids to Marxism.
Well, my biggest problem was that I was, you know, I was a college professor, which is a guarantee that all of those other things are true. I mean, because it's a well-known fact. Danielle, though, I mean, we're going to keeping you here because we want to talk about the podcast. We want to talk very specifically, too, about one of the episodes of the podcast about the history of school boards. Because, you know, what we're trying to do here every night now is we're educating everybody who's listening in the idea of school boards and that first entry. And hey, guess what? We're on civic media. It's the civic duty to do this type of work. Mm-hmm. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. More with Danielle Ford when we get back.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service confirms last week's storm in south-central Wisconsin produced two tornadoes. One was an EF1 in Greene County, and the other was an EF2 tornado that touched down near Evansville. They were the first-ever tornadoes in Wisconsin in February. Postal workers want better pay and bigger staffs to reduce turnover. Gary Davis of the American Postal Workers Union says small rural post offices are hit the hardest.